And I will begin reading at verse 10, ending at verse 22. Before I did that, I'd like to preface my sermon. I have a long introduction for you this evening. And the purpose of that is I need to paint a picture and give you a context in which I'll be speaking to you tonight. We're going to be dealing with verses 10 and 11. And I'm reading 10 through 22 just to paint a picture for you. But with the book of Proverbs, it's very important that we understand the context in which it's written. And that is, Solomon is giving exhortations to his son. And oftentimes, you know, I've heard people in Christendom or just growing up and hear people quote Proverbs and discuss them and talk about them outside of that context. And that can be troublesome at times, all right? And so tonight, what I want to do is I want to paint a picture for you, and then that'll move us into our discussion for this evening. Proverbs chapter 10, or 2, verses 10 through 22 reads, "When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and to keep the paths of righteousness, for the righteous will dwell in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it." There seems to be a mentality in the parental world or paternal world that seems to think that early years of childhood training are the most crucial. And brethren, there's some truth to that, but what I found, and not that experience is to be our guide, but what I found in parenting is that the years of adolescence are just as crucial as the primary years of childhood training. For those of us who have teenagers as parents, the teenage years face us with many challenges as we seek to guide and protect them from evil. But what I found is there's a common mistake made amongst parents to look at or upon the teenage years as years of what I'm calling the finished product or the harvesting years. And that is, parents, we have a tendency to look at these years as the years that our expectations are supposed to be met concerning all that hard labor of early childhood training. We can mistake the teenage years for harvesting years, meaning that we're supposed to sit down at the table and relax and enjoy the fruit from the farm, if you will. But to think, brethren, that the primary years of training are enough to keep your youth from choosing an evil path is unscriptural and dangerous thinking. Now, we don't verbalize that, brethren, but we can live that way. I know for my wife and I, starting off early, we put a lot of energies into raising our children, and we have high hopes and expectations, and I believe I got pretty good children, all of them, all right? But what happened is, as the older ones grow up and get older, we have a tendency to look to the little ones and kind of, you know, the older ones back off a little. Let them have more of their room. A lot of that's true, but we have to be careful. See, the point is, the Bible, to think that the primary years of training are enough to keep our children from choosing a path of evil is unscriptural. What happens, listen to this, brethren, what happens to those who are under this mindset or this type of thinking is when the teenage years hit, they basically stop parenting. They do so because they put all of the energies in the basket of the early childhood years. And the Bible doesn't depict the years of youth as harvesting years, brothers and sisters. Matter of fact, some of us, by experience, have found these years to be the most challenging years of our parenting career. Right? We must view the years of youth as years of further development and training. And what that means for us parents is our cookies aren't baked yet. Our buns are still in the oven. And what that means for you youth, in Star Wars terms, for you who know that, your Jedi training is not complete yet. We need to think of these years sort of like a trainer who has been preparing a boxer prior to his first fight, or a music teacher who's working with a student prior to her first recital. There comes that time, brothers and sisters, when although the primary years of training are complete, it's time for the next stage of development in training. And that's the way we need to look at the years of youth. That's how the Bible depicts it. That's the context in which Solomon is speaking to his son. And that's what you need to get as we move into this passage. We need to understand that Solomon is an active, engaged, teenage parent who is preparing his teenage son, who is on the brink of entering into life. And a life full of dangers, a life full of evil. And he's exhorting his son, choose the way of life and wisdom and blessing and honor and glory. And along with that choice, he says to him, shun the life of evil. But that's the context, brothers and sisters, that we need to understand these proverbs in. Solomon's exhortations to his son. Well, what advice can we glean from Solomon's wisdom in helping us to guide our youth out of harm's way? What counsel does he give us? Let me give you the outline in which I'll be speaking, and then we'll pray. Just two simple heads here. Verse 10, we have what I'm calling the place of Christian wisdom. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, youth, that's the place for wisdom that God has ordained. And then secondly, we'll look at the ways of wisdom, or Christian wisdom, in verse 11. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you. Let's ask God's help. Holy Father, we do stand amazed at just your patience, but not only your patience, Lord, your long-suffering and your forbearance and your mercy and your kindness. And yes, Lord, even your firmness and your justice towards even your children. And Lord, we thank you that your word tells us whom the Lord loves, he chastens, as a father does his son, in whom he takes pity and delight. And Lord, we thank you for your fatherly paternal care over your people. And we pray that you would help us as parents to know how to exercise our authority and wisdom based upon the counsels of your word. And we pray for our youth tonight, O God, that they would understand your word and what it has to say about this whole dynamic of parenting youth. And we ask, O God, that you would face them with their responsibility, that they might cry out to you and that you might develop them. Lord, I pray for those who are still yet dead in their sins, that this would encourage them to go to you for salvation, that they might have that heart for wisdom. And Lord, I pray for those who have come to know you, but yet not have, haven't come to that place of developing their own convictions before you. Would you encourage them tonight, Lord, to do so, that they might be preserved through discretion and wisdom and understanding by your grace. And so we ask these things for the glory of your name in the earth. Amen.
Amen.
Teenager, the place, there is a place for wisdom in our text. And avoiding evil is not about your parents telling you over and over things such as hang out with the right crowd, make sure you dress modest, make sure you're at home at a certain time, make sure you don't watch TV, make sure you don't listen to the radio, and yada-da-da-da-da. We do that with your younger brothers and sisters. You've been promoted. We expect more of you. You see, avoiding evil for you is not just about hedges, rules, and spankings. As parents, we expect you more out of you than little Susie or Johnny. You are different at a different stage in your development, whether realized or not. I mean, think about it. Think it through with me, youth. We're not spanking you anymore, are we? At least I hope not. I mean, I say that just in the case of my home, my two oldest boys can pretty much beat me up. So that poses a problem there. All right? Can you imagine me telling my son Nathan to bend over? I mean, it used to be, Nathan, go to your room and bend over. Now it's Nathan, please. But the point is, brothers and sisters, that our parenting style has to change. It does when we deal with our youth. And hopefully I can convince you of that tonight as we traffic through the Proverbs, or this portion of the Proverbs, and we see Solomon and how he is exhorting his youth and what wisdom he's using, okay, to parent his teenager. All right? Avoiding evil or staying out of harm's way is really an issue of the heart. Let's read verse 10 again. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, verse 11, discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. You see, what Solomon's going after there, Hughes, is that you must learn to embrace wisdom from your heart. What that means for us parents is that we are no longer relying upon hedges and rules and spankings as we once did in our parenting strategy. We must transition with them into further development instead of expecting them to meet our expectations at a certain age. What Solomon is going after for you youth is it's time for you to exercise discretion and understanding if you are going to avoid the way of evil as you enter into life. Mommy and daddy can't do that for you. Hedges and rules can't do that. All right? You must embrace wisdom from the heart. All right? You are at the crucial stage in your development where you must learn to make wise choices and decisions for yourself and develop, catch this, your own biblical convictions. And mom and dad, you need to help them to do that. And that's your part in training your youth. And it's just as crucial as those early childhood years. All the spankings, all the exhortations, keeping still, whatnot. You need to help them to develop their own biblical convictions. That's what Solomon is doing in our text with his son. That's so important. In other words, youth, it is no longer about dad and mom's convictions for you. Okay, listen to me. What are your convictions? What do you believe? So when you get out in the world and you're tempted to call, mom and dad, what should I do? What should I eat? What should I drink? What should I wear? Okay, there's nothing wrong with that, but stop. Step back and take a look at yourself and what you're doing. All right? See, it needs to get to the point to where you're developing your own convictions. You need to come to that place, and we're going to look at some examples of this, to where you have resolved in your soul and you're operating in wisdom, discretion, and understanding for yourself based upon the Word of God. Not mom and dad. Not because there's hedges in my life. Not because there's a bunch of rules that I have to keep. All right? Have you come to the place to where your heart loves wisdom and you desire it for yourself? That's why you listen to mom and dad. That's why you obey your rules. And that's why you do what you do. See, the challenge in the text and what Solomon is really facing you with, youth, is you need to have a heart for wisdom. Bottom line. And without this heart of wisdom, you won't make it in the world. You won't. Satan will work through the hedges. Satan will work through mom and dad. All right? And Satan will definitely work through the spankings. Okay? Think of Samson. Good upbringing, Nazarite vow. Does anyone in here get any stricter than that in their parenting style? The Nazarite vow that God has commanded? That was his upbringing. Think about the providential warning, the lion jumping out. Think about mom and dad telling Samson, you know, son, isn't there other women besides this Philistine that you know you shouldn't be choosing? Didn't Samson break through all of those things? You know why? Because he didn't have a heart for wisdom. Didn't see it. Wasn't convinced for himself. Get me that woman. And my Bible tells me that Samson went the way of what? Evil. Let me read the text again. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil. All right? And we see this over and over and over again. Think of Gehazi, Elijah's right-hand man, if you will. And Naaman, he has that opportunity, comes with all these goods, and Gehazi's like, Elijah's away, and he has the opportunity, and his heart runs. And he gets it, and guess who gets his leprosy? Gehazi. No heart embrace of wisdom. Balaam, Ananias and Sapphira. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and we're going to highlight this attitude in which I'm seeking to drive home here. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and I'm just going to read this and just comment as we go, and you'll get the picture. Hear, my children, the instruction of your father. So we see instructions there, and give attention to know understanding. See the point of that instruction? To develop understanding. For I give you good doctrine. We see doctrine's a part of this instruction and teaching. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart, there's the place of wisdom, retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all your getting, youth, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. Listen to what Solomon's saying. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. This is him talking to his youth. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let her go. Keep her, for she is your life. You see, what Solomon is doing is Solomon is seeking to impress upon his youth his responsibility to embrace wisdom. Solomon is not giving his son here a bunch of duties and commands. What he's doing is he's pleading, he's exhorting, he's urging his son, son, you know I taught you in the right way. You know I've given you good doctrine, but you must embrace it. You must lay hold of it. You must take it to heart. And then he goes on to open up what wisdom will do for him, seeking to further encourage his conscience and his heart to lay hold of Christian wisdom. It's through understanding and discretion that wisdom preserves us, brothers and sisters. Also, Proverbs 7, 1 through 5. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. There it is again. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. See it there? See, the point is this. God has ordained wisdom to be embraced from the heart to be the thing that keeps us from evil. Okay? Did you catch that, brothers and sisters? See, the commandments, the parents, and the rules and the spankings are all a part of that system, if you will, that God has ordained. But sometimes what we can do is we can get caught up in all of those things and miss the heart of all of that and where it's going. Are you developing wisdom? Are you gaining understanding? Is it keeping you from evil? Do you know the issues as you go through life? Do you understand who the immoral woman is and the evil man? As you do, and as you grow through that, and grow up in that, Christian youth, you are growing in wisdom. And that's what God has ordained to keep you from falling into sin when you leave mom and dad. When the hedge, what I mean by the hedge down is there might be an opportunity to sin. Follow me? And there might not be a providential hindrance. What are you going to do? What's going to keep you from sinning? Wisdom in your heart, like Joseph. Opportunity, I'm alone with Potiphar's wife. Let's see. It's just her and I. I'm handsome, she's beautiful. But wisdom says, what does God think? Discretion says, he's here and he sees. And my heart embraces that. So, meaning, I'm not going to touch her. That's wisdom. That's understanding. The proverb says, he who commits adultery lacks understanding. There's things that they don't know about the immoral woman. They got caught. They got snared. They didn't see something. She might have told them that she was Christian. And they bought that book, line, and sinker because they lacked understanding and discretion. They had no wisdom from the Word of God. No conviction, youth. Walked right into the snare, was taken. And we see that over and over again, Solomon urging his son, watch the snare, watch the woman. Know her ways and stay far from her. Let's go to an illustration. Turn in your Bibles. I want to give one positive illustration to Daniel chapter 1. And then one negative. And the negative we're not going to turn to because I already highlighted the life of Samson. And there's plenty of other negatives, brethren. We want to highlight the positive here, though. Because I want to encourage you, youth, to learn the ways of wisdom and to embrace them from the heart so that you can go to God, that through that he might preserve you and keep you. And we're going to talk about the whole salvation issue. It's not enough to be saved, brothers and sisters. And parents, don't pull that card with your children. Don't rest content on your saved laurels, if you will. All right? There's plenty of saved people who lack wisdom. Right? King David was one of them when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. That was stupid. It really was. Foolish. Not wise. And that's the truth. Saved as can be. Solomon fell into many evil and perverse things at the end of his days all because of this women, if you will. So let's not go to an extreme by throwing everything in the saved basket. All right? We need to grow in our sanctification. And a part of growing in our sanctification means we develop discretion and wisdom and understanding, and through that, God preserves us. We have to be careful that we don't get mystic in our view of sanctification and how God works that out in our lives. But here with Daniel, starting in verse 3 of chapter 1, the king instructed Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men and women whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So the first thing I want to note is, and notice in verse 4, it begins with they were young men, youth. So that's the connection with dare to be a Daniel and whatnot. Daniel was a youth when he first entered Babylon. Now watch this youth. We read on in verse 5. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. So this was a 3-year trial, if you will, for Daniel and what he's going through. Notice in verse 6. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. He gave Daniel the name Belshazzar. Excuse me, brethren. To Hananiah, Shadrach. To Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel, here's the gist, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Brethren, you know what's going on in verse 8? You see, Daniel doesn't get out his cell phone use and call mom and dad. Say, mom and dad, I got this situation with King Nebuchadnezzar. You know, he's asking me to take the delicacies and this and that and the other thing. I just wanted to know, should I eat the meat or not? Because, you know, I'm in a rough spot here. What do you think? No, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart what? Not to eat the king's meat. Why? Because Daniel had conviction as a youth. Because God knows that there's going to be times where Daniel's not around who? Mommy and daddy. See the point? Daniel was a well-trained youth. And in that, he's preserved. And I want you to notice, youth, that defilement there, when the Old Testament talks about defilement and the holy people not wanting to defile themselves, you know what that really is in the New Testament? You know what that is in modern times? It's your conscience being defiled. Okay? When you do things that you know you shouldn't be doing, that's the position that Daniel's in right now. So, in America, when we're out and about and we have opportunities to look and we have opportunities to do things that lead to other things and those things lead to other things, if you follow that path, really what you're doing is you're violating what? Your conscience, meaning you're defiling yourself. That's huge. You have to recognize that. That's how you develop convictions. It's not look once, look twice, look 3 times, look 4 times, and your conscience is screaming. Because the 5th time, the 6th time, the 7th time, you know what's happening? You're defiling your conscience. It's becoming seared. It's as if it's not working anymore for you. You see that? But Daniel, the first time, stopped and said, you know, my conscience is bothering me. I don't want to do this before the Lord. It's a conscience issue. And God opened the heart of the eunuch, and he found favor with Daniel. And he says, okay, I understand that. You got convictions before the Lord. Haven't we experienced that in the world with employers and employees and things of that nature, brothers and sisters? I hope you guys are. To the point to where you're not defiling your conscience because you don't want to work on the Lord's day, and so you go to your employer, and God opens his heart and says, okay. And it doesn't always fall out that way, but that's what you should be doing. Or do you violate your conscience? And you just go on. Well, if you're violating your conscience, you're not going to grow in conviction. You're not going to grow in purpose of heart. You're going to have a weak, immoral soul at the end of the day. You're going to be like a city broken down and without walls. So when people come in, they just get what they want and leave. You're going to be like the harlot who has no discretion with men because she can't control herself. Those are the pictures. Immorality. Not just sexual immorality. Immorality, period. Immoral. It's so important that you develop convictions, youth. And it's so important, parents, that you lead them and guide them there, especially when they hit the teenage years. The point is this. God has designed wisdom to be embraced from the heart, to be the thing that ultimately keeps us from going the way of evil. That's the place of wisdom. All right? That's so important, brothers and sisters. We need to understand this. And that goes for us all. That's not just an application for our youth. I know that God has preserved me from doing evil things. I've had opportunities to steal money working in the grocery business. I've had opportunities to fornicate with women. I've had opportunities to lie to move up the corporate ladder. But God gave me a heart for wisdom by His grace. And through that, He's preserved me and kept me over the years from evil. Through that, He's preserved my marriage from evil. Through that, He's preserved me from destroying my children from evil and ruining my home from evil and being brought to a piece of bread, because that's what harlots do to men who lack discretion, from evil. That's the point. We can't live life without this. And we can't live mystic, brothers and sisters. And I think sometimes we do that. You know, we do that passage in James, ask God for wisdom and He'll give it. And it's practical. What I want to see is, where did He give it? What does it look like in your life? What are you being kept from? Show me the discretion and the judgment that you got from God about the situation. That's what Solomon's doing here. And that's what we need to do, brothers and sisters. Not just ask God. It goes way beyond asking God. It goes to getting it. And then after getting it, you apply it. And then after you apply it, you grow in it. You see? Oftentimes, when youth fall out for evil, parents and brethren, we have a tendency to blame and go to the parents first, don't we? You know, we read accounts like Eli and his boys, Hophni and Phinehas, and God coming to Eli. But brethren, let's not forget, God killed Hophni and Phinehas. You know, we go to accounts like David and Absalom, and we look at God's judgment on David. Let's not forget that God killed Absalom through Joab. See, youth, your parents do have some responsibility if you choose to go down the evil path. I'm not saying they don't. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you know who's responsible for choosing that path? You are. You. You. And you know how you avoid that? By embracing a heart for wisdom. You might say, but Eli's boys were unsaved. Absalom was unsaved. And that's true. Okay? But see, that kind of thinking, that right there, that goes there, Eli's boys were saved, Absalom's boys. See, that kind of thinking leads to you excusing yourself and not seeing the issues. That kind of thinking really means you lack discernment and understanding if you go there. You see? So what we want to do is we want to understand the issues and we want to exercise discernment and discretion and wisdom in these things. When I first was saved, I was saved in a context to where I wasn't a part of a church. My life was very sinful. I mean, I acted out things. Brothers, I'm not your average saved person in the church and come from a Christian home and whatnot. I wasn't that kind of guy. I was fornicating, I was doing drugs, and the rest of the stuff. And I was headlong in it, and God saved me. When He saved me, I didn't understand, I didn't have any ecclesiology. I didn't understand the church. When He saved me, I didn't understand much about God and His attributes. But I was saved. I knew that God had redeemed my soul and He had put me on a new path and set me on a good direction. And I wanted those things for my life. Now what happened is 2 years into my salvation, and after the, if you want to call it this, the honeymoon years were over, okay, I fell into sin. And the reason why I fell into sin, brothers and sisters, is because I had no conviction. Nobody taught me how to develop convictions. And for a while in high school, I was known as the goody two-shoes. I was having Bible studies, and I was really growing in the Lord. And I was kind of like doing my own thing, if you will. And I was holding Bible studies in the cafeteria, and I was evangelistic and all of that. And I was, it was fresh and new, and people were listening, and girls were soliciting me, if you will, evil girls on campus. And I, nope. But one came along who said she was Christian. Came to the Bible studies. Got to know each other. I lacked wisdom and understanding. Couldn't see her coming. That's what Solomon's going after with his son. The ways of the immoral woman. The ways of the evil man. Youth, it's not enough to be saved. You need that. We talked about that the last time I preached. A relationship with God. All right? And Solomon directs his son there. You need to go to God. And he's going to do that all throughout the Proverbs. And we need to understand that. I'm not undermining that. But we can't continue to keep talking about that. We have to move on here. It's not enough to be saved. It's not enough to hear instruction. It's not enough to be hedged in to the authority of your parents or the church. It's not enough to read your Bible. It's not enough to do your duty to protect yourself. You must embrace wisdom from the heart. And until you do that, really, you have nothing within you to what? Protect you. So all you can do is rely upon hedges, duties, and this and that and the other thing. Okay? Not that those things are wrong, but hear me out, brothers and sisters, because I don't want to play this duty, not duty game. What I'm saying, and I'm not anti-duty. As our brother Chris said, it's not either or, it's both and. And we're constantly going to have to do that because we're walking a tightrope here. We're talking about, see, this highlights the point. We need discretion, wisdom, and understanding to see these things. It's like threading a needle. You follow me? See, what Solomon's going after with his son is he's encouraging his son to embrace wisdom from the heart, because ultimately that's the only thing that can keep you from going the way of evil. You guys understand that? Do you? Okay? So if you're one that needs, and I see this all the time in counseling, extreme accountability, call me. Okay, that's going to get old after a while, right? And then it's going to drag me down in life. I can't. Hey, hold on, brother. What's going on, sister, brother? What do you mean? Now, it's not to say that extreme accountability is wrong, but if you need that all the time, and that's what you're relying upon, and that's becoming your crutch for what keeps you from evil, that's not good enough. Follow me? If you're looking for something outside you to keep you, youth and parents, something's wrong. All right? See, salvation is a work of the heart by grace through faith. God changes the inner man and he converts the soul. And what that means for you is you have something within you to keep you by God's grace. And that's why you use the means. Okay? But it's not vice versa. And we need to understand that. Because God is going to take you out into the wilderness to be tempted by, guess who? The devil. He did it to Jesus. And you're going to have those times where Satan comes along, just like Eve, and the opportunity's right, and he starts talking. What are you going to do? Are you going to exercise wisdom? Or are you going to cave in? Well, what are the ways of wisdom that Solomon gives to us in our text? Well, there's two. Discretion and understanding. Those are the things that God wants us to grow in and develop based upon His Word, that He might use to keep us from harm's way. Discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of evil. And then Solomon goes on to talk about the evil and the perverse man and his ways, and the evil and perverse woman, which I believe are analogous to choosing a path of evil for youth, and hopefully we'll discuss some of those things. But God has ordained that discretion and understanding to keep us from evil or out of harm's way. Living the Christian life, youth and brethren, doesn't come to us in the black and white. Meaning, it doesn't come to us discerned and all worked out, right? You know, we would like it that way. We would like to live in the black and white, the do's and don'ts. Just tell me what to do, tell me what not to do. Just tell me what to do, tell me what not to do. That's not the way you live the Christian life. It's not. And don't approach Scripture that way. Scripture doesn't come to us written as a bunch of do's and don'ts. All right? The word used for discretion is a neutral term that can be used for good or evil. And it has to do with devising or taking thought. It means to plan out. It means to... The term that you hear oftentimes is when you hear a news report about somebody who premeditated something. They planned it out before they did it. That's the term here. That's what that word discretion means. It's like a plotted murder. All right? And then the word for understanding has to do with one's ability to perceive things and exercise sound judgment based upon that perception. I think the best illustration that we have are the book of Proverbs itself. So follow me here, brethren. Solomon, as I said earlier, is not giving his teenager a list of do's and don'ts, expecting these things to keep his son. He does give commandments, but we have to be careful how we're understanding the way he's doing it. That's what I want to highlight. See, it's not so much about what Solomon's doing, it's about how he's doing it that I want you to focus on throughout these Proverbs. Solomon is not just allowing rules and regulations over there to... that's not the style, his style of parenting that he's parenting his youth with. What Solomon is doing, brothers and sisters, is Solomon is engaged. He's interacting. He's working with his youth. He's communing with him. He's talking to him. That takes time. It takes energy. It takes effort. I know that. But that's what he's doing. He's not putting all of his energy... Solomon's not a man who put all of his energies into the basket of the early years. This takes time to understand what your youth are dealing with when it comes to the topic of sex, parents, and things such as masturbation, and things such as internet pornography. Do you talk about that with your youth, or do you just ignore it and act like it's not there? Guys and girls, things like prejudice, blacks hating whites and whites hating blacks, do you talk about those things, or we act like it's not there? Segregation and whatnot, all that stuff is still a part of our world. It's not gone. Just because we had the Civil War and the Civil Rights Movement and all that, and it still exists. It's alive and well, and it's in the church. Solomon is gaining the conscience of his son. And you know how he's doing it, parents? He's a living example. Deuteronomy chapter 6. When he walks up, when he goes to work, when he comes home, he's using his life as an example to teach his son. Solomon's wisdom is coming from his daddy and through his experience from the Word of God, and he's imparting that to his youth. And Solomon was a man who embraced it, and now he wants his son to do the same. And so ought we. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5. So the commandments of God, brethren, in verse 1, my son, pay attention to my wisdom, that's included. Lend your ear to my understanding, that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey. So you have to catch this, brethren. When he's saying these things, that is his wisdom. He's teaching the commands now, right here in the text. He's not giving them, thou shalt not commit adultery. What Solomon is doing is he's helping his son to understand what that looks like in time and space. All right? For the lips of an immoral woman drip as honey. What does that mean? Men? The lips of an immoral woman drip as honey. Does that mean she comes telling us that she's immoral? Or does your mind go in this direction? Oh, he's talking about the harlot there. You know, the one that's all dressed up and out on the street and they look immoral. No! You lack discretion. If you think that that's the case, the lips of an immoral woman drip honey and her mouth is smoother than oil. What does all that mean for us, men? But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood. Sharp as a two-edged sword, her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell, lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others, and your years to the cruel one, lest aliens be filled with your wealth, this is the evil, and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at the last when your flesh and your body are consumed, and you say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised correction? And in other words, I have no heart for wisdom. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the verge of total ruin, listen, in the midst of the assembly and congregation. Where's this stuff taking place? Church. And brethren, we need to wake up. And we need to be aware of that. Drink waters from your own cistern and running waters from your own well. Why should your fountains be dispersed abroad? Streams of living water in the streets, let them be only your own and not for strangers with you. So what does that look like for us men in the church? What are you doing with your eyes with your sisters? And where does your heart go? Okay? It's not about just so much out there in here. Right? Has your heart embraced wisdom? Do you keep a covenant with your eyes in the church of God? Or do you let your heart wander? And you know, it's different in the church, you know? It's not. Verse 17, let them be only your own and not a stranger's with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth as a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breast satisfy you at all times and always be enraptured with her love. What he's promoting there is faithfulness. That's the idea. So kind of forget the analogy and stick to the principle. Oh, so be faithful, be faithful. Single men, you can learn that now in the way you conduct yourself. Right now. Prepare you for marriage. So don't think, well, he's talking about those who got wives and who got married. No, he's not. That's the analogy that he's using. But what he's talking about is, have you embraced the heart of wisdom? For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman and be embraced in the arms of the seductress? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all their paths. His own iniquities entrap the wicked, and he is caught in the cords of his own snares, and he shall die for lack of instruction. In the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. He lacks wisdom and understanding and discretion. You see? And the point is this, parents, that's what we need to be teaching our youth. We got to get involved. We got to get in there. Make sure that they're just not relying upon hedges and your parental authority and what you've done over the years. Get into their hearts. Ask God. Open up their hearts. Speak with them. Engage them. And lead and guide them. They need you more than ever now. They're on the brink of leaving home and living out their own lives. And what Solomon dreads and fears about his son is incurring a wound for life. Evil comes packaged, youth. Disguise, like the lure on the hook. Satan himself transforms as a minister of righteousness, as we've seen with the immoral woman. The point is, if we are to avoid the traps and pits of life, we need to be people who have a heart for wisdom, meaning we need to grow in our discretion and understanding. This is what we must cultivate and grow in our relationship with God, in that experience that our brother Chris was talking about this morning. Don't operate out of fear. Parents, in your parenting, don't operate out of fear. And youth, don't just expect fear to keep you. carnal fear that is. There's a difference between the carnal fear of man and the fear of God, which highlights the point. Discretion and understanding are needed. Sometimes I think a lot of times in church life we operate on the carnal fear of man, and we don't even recognize it. We lack discernment. And then it stings us, and then we're all asking, well, why are we doing this, and what happened? And it's really we lack understanding and discretion and wisdom. There's a whole carnal world, brothers and sisters, that takes place in the church to where men get in the positions they do, things happen. Let's not be naive to that. Let's exercise some wisdom and discretion and understanding that we might be kept from evil. See, when things happen in other churches and we hear about it, they don't happen overnight. Pastors falling. If you're one of those, what happened? Why is that? Brethren, we're very naive. And if that stuff can go on for 10 years in a church, something's wrong. If we are going to avoid evil and stay out of harm's way, and this is for all of us, brethren, we have to have a heart for wisdom. Meaning, we must develop convictions from the Word of God for ourselves. That's what God expects of you. That's what He's there for. Go to Him. If you are unsaved, go to Him. And say, Lord God, give me a heart for wisdom, because if you don't, a sure thing is you're headed for evil. All right? You are. And it's going to be played out in your life. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow. You might be hedged in. You might have parents around you. You might have a fear, a certain fear on your heart. But eventually, Satan will find you. There he is, Judas. Give him what he wants. And he does it. Like dogs going to their vomit. Pigs going to their wallowing in the mire. Nothing on the inside. No root. Now I understand that that's salvation, but it's more than that. It's in your salvation, develop convictions, grow in understanding and discretion. And through that, God will keep you and preserve you from going the way of evil. In your marriages, on your job, in your homes, in your parenting. It's not a mystery. Let's not get all mystic. Okay? Application. Dear youth, listen to me. Let's pretend like mom and dad aren't here for a second. They left the room. And I say that because staying out of trouble in life is not about mom and dad. It's not about hedges and rules. Those are good, and they're there, and God has provided that as a means, so don't misunderstand me. All right? But that's really not the issue of our text. The issue of our text is when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge becomes a pleasant thing for you, then discretion will keep you and understanding will preserve you. And not until then. Follow me? Meaning, youth, hear me out, in love, you must embrace wisdom from the heart. You got to deal with that issue before God. That's where we have to separate ourselves as parents, in their relationship with relating to God. If you're content that you're, you know, I'm pretty much content with my children. I am. That's just my personality. But not before God. You see? And I can't allow my contentment to govern me, because if I do, we're headed for trouble. If I just, you know, I'm okay with where they're at, we just hang out and we'll let evil come and then we'll get on it. Bad philosophy. Bad approach to parenting. All right? Put pressure on them. Where's your heart before the Lord? Give them opportunities to exercise discernment and wisdom. Give them some room as you oversee their life. Get in their heart as they go out. Find out what's going on. Youth. If you have to be treated like a 2-year-old or a 3-year-old because of your poor choices when your mom and dad give you room, shame on you. All right? You got to grow up. You do. Okay? We all do. Don't get mad at them. Don't get bitter. Don't get angry. Work with them. As they draw you back in, If they teach you, as Solomon's doing their children, well, you made a poor choice here. We got to talk about that before I give you the keys to the car again. You made a poor choice here. We got to talk about that when I let you hang out with this certain group. See, because we don't want to become so secluded and isolated to where we're no good to the lost. See why we need wisdom and balance, discretion and understanding? Because we can go to that extreme, to where we're in our parenting, we isolate don't go around that, don't do that. And then before you know it, what's happening? What are we teaching them? It's not wisdom. It's not the wisdom of God. It might secure us, but it's not teaching them God's wisdom and ways. This passage faces us all, whether saved or unsaved, with a choice and a decision that we must grapple with before the Lord. Do you have a heart for wisdom? Bottom line. Men, women, boys, girls, do you have a heart for God and His ways? Or do you just want out of trouble? You just don't want to go to hell? You're just here and you're just hedged in by your parents and whatnot? Do you have a heart for wisdom? Ask yourself that before the Lord. Do you have a heart to grow in it? If you are here tonight and through this sermon you have recognized that you don't have a heart for wisdom, the hope is you can ask God right now. See, one of the things that the Word of God does is it faces you with your responsibility, which we all don't like to hear by nature, and we all get a little bothered by that. But that, if you can get through that hump, you go out to God and you ask Him for grace to help you to become the way you need to be. So if you're unsaved and you need to become saved, ask God. See, it's all of grace. It's all of God. You can go to Him. But I have to face you with your responsibility, saved and unsaved alike. If you're unsaved and you lack a heart for wisdom, you need to ask God. You're not off the hook. If you're saved and you're living a sloppy Christian life, you need to repent and ask God to give you a heart for wisdom and discretion and understanding, that it might keep you from living a sloppy Christian life, because that doesn't glorify God. Remember, dear Christian youth, if you are to avoid evil in such things as music, dress, movies, use of money, food, pleasure, you need to exercise discretion and understanding in the choices you make. There is danger and evil in everything. I already know that. So we don't have to get into the what's law and what's not. That's simple. When God's Word says thou shalt not and thou shalt do, those are simple things, right? But it's when we get into this world of liberty, such as music and dress and all these things. See, that's where things get a little more, sticky. Youth, there's dangers there. Exercise discretion and wisdom and understanding when your parents allow you some liberty in those areas. But don't take advantage of that and use it for an occasion for you to gratify your flesh to where they have to pull you in. And if they do, recognize that's your heart. And talk to them about that. And let them shepherd you. The point is this: you need to be developing your own biblical convictions from the Word of God, that discretion will preserve you and understanding will keep you. And sometimes Satan used the lawful things to rob our heart of wisdom. And it's just a matter of time before you will fall out for evil. And then lastly, parents, don't stop parenting your teens. All right? Now, I know some of you are doing an excellent job. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those of us who are not. Okay? As I use myself in an example, I see my failings as a father. God is showing me those things. And the tendency for me is to become discouraged, become hopeless, and to give up. And if you get that sense, okay, because maybe some of your expectations haven't been met, don't stop parenting. Hope in God. Let Him revive you. Let Him help you to get back into the fight. There's always hope with God, no matter where they're at. Usher them into the world of decision-making based upon the Word of God, that they will develop their own convictions. Recognize the transition that needs to take place in your parenting strategies, and don't allow your personal convictions to get in the way of them developing their own convictions. That's so important. Talk to them. Work it out. And lastly, You know, Pastor Robert and I talked about a whole Sunday school class devoted to decision making and developing convictions, because this is really a groundwork, brethren, for, you know, something that Solomon's going after in the Proverbs. But if you want more instruction and teaching on this, I would recommend the book Age of Opportunity by David Paul Tripp. And in particular, if you don't want to read the whole book, chapters 8 and 9 are excellent. One of the chapters is Developing Wisdom and Convictions, and another one, I forget it, is Living in the Real World. And those two are really a good example of what Solomon's doing here in Proverbs chapter 2. Well, with that, let's close in prayer. Father, we do bless you, Lord, that you are patient with us. And Lord, when we are faced with our responsibility, we do see your character and its beauty, your long-suffering and forbearance to usward, being the sinner. And not only that, Father, your willingness to forgive us, where we have been very irresponsible and negligent, and we have lived in such a way that has diminished your glory from our perspective. But Lord, we thank you so much that you are God and a God of hope. And I pray, O God, that you would help us as parents to truly love our youth in this place, whether saved or not. And Lord, that you would help us to parent with wisdom and skill and understanding, that we might capture their consciences, and that through this we might see you working grace into their souls, and that we might see those who are dead in sins converted, and that we might see those who are seeking to walk with you and to grow, and those who dare to be a Daniel, Lord, that we might see it in our day, in our generation. Father, would you revive us? Would you help us to see? Would you give us the grace we need to fulfill these things in our day? Lord, we know you're going to get glory to yourself. We humbly ask that you would use us to get it, and that you would not have to deal with us, Lord, and move us out of the scene and use someone else. Lord, we long to serve you with our lives. Amen. Lord, would you be merciful to us, the sinner? We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.